What's really going down behind the scenes at Walmart that's helping purpose-driven businesses thrive? You're going to hear all about it today on Driven by Purpose.
This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
Welcome to Driven by Purpose, everybody. My name is Evan Rosenblum, along with the co-founders of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation, Mike Gesser and Isaac Shapiro. What's going on, fellas?
Hey, Evan.
Hey, Evan.
I'm excited today. You guys have been talking about our guest for a very long time, and I'm going to set him up for the fans here, for the guests, for the audience here. So they can get excited too. It's not very often that we talk about somebody who I haven't met. I don't really know much about, but you guys have talked about this person a lot because you say that he is a guy that is passionate about the things that we're passionate about. And he's in a very important position at a very important company. And I think that it's important that our audience gets to hear about what it's like to know somebody at a place like Walmart, which is one of the biggest companies, one of the most influential companies in the world, and have a guy who is one of the vice presidents of merchandising there who cares about things like people with disabilities and inclusion and things like that, and who's championing families like ours and who wants to, inclusion and programs like that that make experiences like shopping and things like for our family like that, better experiences overall. And you guys talk about Jared Davis a lot. You guys have told me about him and that he's a good guy who's really trying to do well for our community. And I'm really excited to meet him. And that's going to happen today. And we're going to kind of hear what it's like to work at Walmart and what he's doing behind the scenes there. And I've been really excited about this conversation for a long time. So without further ado, we are going to meet the Vice President of Merchandising Personal Care at Walmart, Jared Davis. Welcome to the show.
Welcome, Jared.
Thank you, Evan, Isaac, and Mike for having me. I wish I could get that intro every time.
Well, look, I mean, these guys have talked a lot about you. I know that you've had a relationship with Isaac for a long time. So with that, let's just, we just met just before the show a couple of minutes ago. I've learned that you were a Chiefs fan. You have that in common with my daughter who loves Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. That's great. But I'd love to hear more about you. I'd love to hear more about your background, how you got, connected with Walmart. And more importantly, like Isaac, has talked about your heart and you've been passionate about, like we just talked about inclusion and working with people with disabilities and accessibility and things like that. And I'm really curious how that became such an important thing to you and in your life. And I'd love to hear more about your background and your story.
Thanks, Evan. I think it all really starts of, how we grow up. Our family is a massive influence on us. And Isaac, I know a lot of your story there, but I grew up in a small town in Southwest Missouri. That's right, Missouri, home of the Chiefs across. But work ethic was one of those things that was pretty big. I went to college, was one of the first in my family to actually, go to college. I went to a small private college called College of the Ozarks. Unique because you actually work on campus to pay for your tuition. So you work 15 hours a week on campus and that pays for your tuition across. So the first year I was there, I was in the construction area painting. So I was doing painting across campus. The second year, applied for a position and got into the purchasing department. So we were actually buying all the materials for the campus. We had a warehouse on campus. So working directly kind of with the CFO on, going out, getting bids. We could be furnishing a whole new building, renovating a building, et cetera. And then the third year, I got to be the student manager. So I got to be the student manager of the purchasing area. So really, ties into a lot what I do today as far as merchandising here at Walmart. But my first kind of career in retail was actually an internship at Walgreens, where I got a hands-on experience at Walgreens up in Nixon, Missouri, to actually see it. I fell in love with it. I fell in love with connecting with the team that you actually have, that you work with, but fell in love with supporting the community. When you think about Walgreens, the pharmacy, and how they show up and support. From there, I decided to go to grad school. In grad school, I got in to be a grad assistant. So the grad assistant actually paid for my college too. Interesting, it was an additional bonus. They gave me $500 a month on top of paying for my tuition to live on. And I remember the $500 because my rent was $490. So paid for my housing. I had an extra $10.
Look at all that disposable income you had, man.
Income that I had at the time. Yeah, but very fortunate. You know, my family, you know, helped with the remaining and stayed on at Walgreens. So I went to college, both undergrad and graduate, by actually working through college on campus that actually paid 100% of my tuition. Wow. So it just ties into how I, you know, grew up of work ethic across that, you know, respect for an individual, kind of that strive for excellence. If you're going to do something, you need to do it at the highest bar was kind of the motto within our family. As I was graduating grad school, Walmart came in, was interviewing, and sold me. I think I signed up for a 7 a.m. interview. I'm an early person, as Isaac yep. knows. Signed up for that first spot because I don't want to wait all day, you know, for an interview. And was luckily got a job offer to start Walmart in replenishment.
Let me interrupt real quick, though. What time, I'm curious, what time did you wake up for your 7 a.m. interview?
I think I was probably, it's hard to remember. I'm sure I was up by 5 because I didn't sleep the night before.
Yep.
My wife was, why you want to interview for a job in Arkansas? So there's all those questions, you know, happening across. But woke up, I was there plenty early and, you know, got the opportunity. I started in supply chain. And supply chain is really a lot of backbone of who Walmart is, the infrastructure that we've built from stores. Now you think about e-com and our delivery that we have to get to a little over 90% of the households within an hour today. So spent about half my career in, you know, kind of the merch operation, supply chain side in the food business. Got an opportunity to kind of work on some org structure, product. So I got the responsibility to kind of manage our product teams for supply chain replenishment. Got to go over to the pharmacy business, OTC, which was very similar to my Walgreens experience. Got to see that. And then right before COVID, I moved into consumables. Had the responsibility for household paper and chemicals, and then COVID hit,
We
were out of stock of paper towels, toilet paper, and chemicals. So got my first gray hairs.
I thought it was a pretty slow time for sales during that time.
During that experience. but I learned more about supply chain than you ever would in those few years.
Gosh, that's really trial by fire, isn't it?
It was trial by fire. You know how. You never think we'd be delivering a truckload of toilet paper to a store, right?
Man.
Across. But really was of, you know, in how we partner with our suppliers to, you know, ultimately we're just trying to serve our customers. In a time when customers were, you know, scared, didn't know what the future was going to bring, the last thing they need to be worried about is you can't find their essentials across the business. So was very important for us of, you know, true partnership really started to rise for me of how I work with the supplier base, both large and small across that experience.
Did you see when it was a time of crisis at the time? I mean, I'm not trying to make light of, you know, the people needed the toilet paper and stuff like that at all. I'm really not, because people were scared. Everyone was scared at that time. Did you feel at that time when everyone was trying to figure out how to get stuff to people who were really scared, that when you were working with your partners and stuff, was it kind of exhilarating trying to figure out in a time where there was pressure and you needed to find solutions quickly? What was it like trying to figure out how to get these solutions very quickly with people who were working from home? It wasn't your traditional working environment. What was that like for you guys?
It was. We don't talk a lot about that. We're in a completely different, you know, at Walmart, we're a very people-led company. We sit with our teams. We eat lunch with our teams. We do a lot of things, you know, from a family standpoint, even with our teams. And we were being disrupted. You know, we are now at home. I had at the time a 3-year-old at home. my wife was teaching. She was an elementary teacher, and she had to go in. Even though they were doing virtual teaching, they had to do it from the classroom. So I was left every day with a three-year-old that was potty training.
Oh, man.
And she would, every time I'd get on a call, it seems like, you know, I'd need to go and help her wipe herself, right? Where would be what she'd be yelling at me. What it really came down to, it came back down to who we are, though. We had to really trust people more than I think we did when we were in the office. Because as a leader, you could not do everything that was being demanded of you across. You had to trust that your team, the suppliers, all had the same common interest to how do we get product back in our stores and service our customers? And what do they need to do? What do they need from us to be successful? Some of that was taking handcuffs off of how we write orders, when we write orders. That's a lot of it was understanding those things that we needed to take the barriers away from the team. But also, we still had to manage, you know, in a P&L. And one of the things I have really loved about Walmart in those situations is your first action is do the right thing for the customers and the associate. Number two comes into, all right, how are we going to manage this from a P&L standpoint? And that's exactly what we did in each one of those situations. You know, each week was a new, kind of was a new obstacle that hit us. Each week, a new layer that hit us, you know, with different shutdowns across different areas of the country, across. And that's how we managed it. And I think what I've seen every time, if you do the right things for your customers and your associates, you'll figure out how to manage the backside, making sure you're right, making the right business decisions for the shareholder.
Yeah, no, I think that's, I wish just that time was just such a crazy time. So I couldn't imagine, you know, with, you know, 90% of America shopping a Walmart store, what you guys were dealing with. But, you know, I'd love to just, you know, continue down this path. I think one of the things that I've always, being a supply chain major and Walmart recruiting out of Arizona State, where I went to school, learning a lot about people and the customer, I would love to just maybe learn a little bit more for our audience. And, you know, one of the things when you participated in our ribbon cutting last October, when we, you know, opened up and really talked about our Assembled in USA Purchase to Employ initiative to the world, one of the things that you brought into your speech was that Walmart is a purpose-driven brand like Clean Logic. And I just, when I heard you say that, I think like, God, people don't know a lot about what Walmart's doing and how they really lead with the customer and focus. Can you give our audience, and Evan here is, because he can learn more about why we just, what we see in Walmart is, how is Walmart a purpose-driven brand? And can you break that down for us with the many great things that you guys talk about with like people being people-led and tech forward?
Yeah, no, thank you for that. You know, our founder, Sam Walton, really founded the company on how do we go serve the communities we live and work in. He did that from day one. You see that, I think, show up in a lot of avenues today across how we, the community time we spend in, the hours we show up. Anytime there's an event, natural disaster, we're the first ones on the scene. Hurricane Katrina, I actually had the water business when we had some hurricanes, and we'd be the first ones to show up. But I think as I think deeper about this, how we're a purpose-driven company and really people-led, why I have been here 18 years now is the people. The people and the opportunity. I remember one of the first suppliers I started working with when I was in Delhi. It was Great Kitchens. They were not a supplier. We were looking at doing take-and-bake pizzas. Before take-and-bake pizzas was a big thing. Now we have them in the market side brand. Supplier didn't exist with Walmart. The merchandising lead approached it, and I had supply chain. I remember the person I worked with, that's been 15 years ago, Mary was kind of the supply chain lead. And I remember the sales lead across that. You know, those people you remember. And in 3 years, we worked with them for 3 years to go create out the take and bake pizzas across. And 3 years later, they're the third largest supplier in the deli department. So much so, we were working with them at how they diversify their business so they don't rely on Walmart so much after 3 years. I always thought I wanted to be an entrepreneur. My dad was an entrepreneur. A lot of my extended family has their own businesses. What I got at Walmart was that sense of entrepreneurship every day, that ownership, that purpose, that we have a deeper desire, deeper need to how do we, you know, take a supplier like that, walk them through every part of the journey, and even start to help them at how they diversify their business outside of Walmart, because that's the best thing for them, number one, across the business. So that story stuck to me. And then Isaac, you know, I think about 15 years later, I got the opportunity to meet you and you got to kind of talk through your story, your mom. And I was coming into personal care. Personal care was the second department Walmart named. So very legacy, you know, business, one of the oldest departments out there. We're working with some of the oldest brands. An example, Gillette celebrated its 123rd birthday this year. Old Spice is celebrating its 88th birthday. Brands we grew up with and, you know, meant something to us as we were growing up. You know, how do we continue to revive those? But at the same time, there's so much opportunity to bring in new brands, new inspiration. And Isaac, you've just been with us now a few years. You came through the open call process where we invite in entrepreneurs. Just actually happened last week, was our 11th open call. And you hit the ground running too. Your story is very similar. You know, the merchant worked with you, got your items in. They took off from day one. And we just don't step away. Like, we've been working now with Isaac. Like, how do we continue down this path? How can we do more? I had the opportunity to go to the factory opening in Philadelphia. Isaac and Mike, where you had some of the disabled workers actually start to assemble your products. And from that day, I remember the individual that was legally blind on a sewing machine. I have no idea how he was doing that, but he smiled from ear to ear the entire time we were there. And the purpose that job was given him, I will never forget that day. Never forget, as we came back, Clark and I, that's the merchant over this, how can we do more here? And that's been our mission, Isaac and Mike, of like, what can we do more to bring this opportunity more into your business? But also, how do we tell the story across? How we tell the story to all suppliers? That this is hard. This is not easy to do. But ultimately, it comes back to our founder wanted to support the communities we live in. And his goal was to provide access to products.
Access.
As I look at that today, we want to provide people things they need, want, and love. That is products. That is merchandise. We also want them to have a high quality of life, you know, from good jobs, manufacturing, et cetera.
Yeah. And I think just to add to that, and I appreciate that story there, Jared, because it's definitely been an amazing ride. And I think what's important for our audience, I think, as we look at how emerging brands, you know, are coming out there and, you know, people like Walmart and other retailers are realizing that, you know, these brands are an important part of growth. Because if I think about the 2008 financial crisis, it was really tough back then. You know, retailers were trying to say, we got to stick with, you know, not three SKUs, one SKUs. So what I have seen over the last couple of years, and I think where the myth out there from the supplier community is like, hey, you know, Walmart, you know, you can do a lot of volume. You know, sometimes they can switch on a penny. Where, when you talk about Walmart's people led, how does that work with your suppliers and how do you view those partnerships? Because we have just been really, you know, just so excited about the partnership. And even as we get ready to do our February 25th Dining in the Dark event, you have championed and helped get Walmart behind this event so that we can create awareness around creating more jobs for individuals with disabilities. So I'd love to just talk about where this partnership piece, because a lot of us in the supplier community, it's, you know, Walmart has some of the myth of, you know, hey, you got to be careful. And I'd love to get your perspective on that.
I've seen it as, we're people led. We see that internally, why I've been here 18 years, but we want to have a relationship with our suppliers. Yes, there's things we can automate, some of the things we do back and forth to make both our jobs easier, but I believe, and I've seen, that a competitive advantage for us is having a relationship with our suppliers. And that can, you know, how we then connect that relationship back to the customers, I believe is a significant competitive advantage. I believe it's also a way that I think attracts talent in. Like, relationships is the key to everything we do, I think, from day to day, from our families to suppliers. And I think it makes it more meaningful to have it face to face that, Isaac, I not only know who you are, I know your background. Mike, I know you too, and I know your story of your daughter across. I think that's important that we have. And yes, it is hard. We are a big company and we have a lot of suppliers. So sometimes there's choices, but I don't think any supplier could ever say that I've turned down a meeting request from them.
Go ahead, Jared.
No, I just, you know, if anybody reaches out, I'm more than willing to help, and we're going to figure it out as a team, how to help them, how to guide them and give them the right resources.
I got to say, like, as I'm listening to you guys talk about this, you know, you guys are obviously, there's a business relationship here, but just as a consumer, I got to say, like, my takeaway from this conversation is getting information is easier now than it's ever been, especially, you know, when you're talking about businesses and products and stuff like that. To your point, Jared, I think that when you guys are getting involved with businesses that are hiring people with disabilities, and you're talking about the experience where they're hiring people who are legally blind or uncertain, it's so much, you know, you can find that information out, and people like me that support companies that hire people with disabilities. I know these guys are doing the Inspiration Foundation, which is helping increase employment for people with disabilities by 20%, hopefully more. I will go out of my way to support companies like that. And then in turn, go out of my way to shop at places that support companies like that. And it's like, I'm not the only one who feels that way. I'm sure everybody in this call and everybody listening to this program knows how strong our community is. I tell people all the time, like, it's, you know, the community, our community, it's an amazing community. It's like, you know, I never imagined that I would be a part of this community. I'm in this community, and it's like, it's the most amazing community in the entire world. I can't believe the support that I've received, the people that I've met. It's incredible. And the support that we've received and how big it is, it's incredible. And the second that you need help, the second that somebody says, hey, you got to support this company, because I'll give you a great example. There's a shoe company called Billy's, and my daughter has severe cerebral palsy and she wears braces for her feet. And somebody said, there's this great company called Billy's. They make shoes for people who wear braces on their feet. And as a matter of fact, they are designed by people with disabilities. They use artists with disabilities, some visually impaired. Oh, and by the way, they carry Billy's at Walmart. So you can go and get a pair of Billy's at Walmart. So my daughter, we go and we buy Billy's. And I was just mentioning this to Isaac and Mike before. Billy's are super stylish too. And my daughter, she's nonverbal. So at school, they give her a communication slip that she takes home for us so we can read about her day. And she got a compliment on her shoes at school the other day. So it's amazing. Maisie complimented Sid's outfit and her shoes. Just putting that out there.
That's
amazing. True. You know what I mean? So like, it connects, like it's all connected. It's amazing. It's like, it's not just like a thing that happens. Oh, cool. This company makes this product. Oh, and this company sells this product. It has like real world impact for like real families. And when Sydney brings home this note to us and we get to read at the table and she's so proud of it that she got a compliment, like, it's all connected. And I think that just a reminder that it's like, it's not just like a cool thing that a company's doing or that this thing's, it like, it has a real impact on real people and real families. And I think that what you guys are all doing, and Jarrett, what you guys are focusing on doing behind the scenes at Walmart, and Isaac and Mike, what you guys are doing with your company. It's like, it's so cool to watch, and like being a part of this here is just, it's awesome. I know I'm just like geeking out, but I think it's really cool to be a part of all this. That's all I'm trying to say.
What I also think is something I want to highlight is like Walmart, they have the power to make huge, real lasting change. I go back to like sustainability efforts. There's so much that was done in the past with suppliers of consumer products to make them more sustainable. And I think there's so many measurable achievements that have happened. And then there's the Made in the USA initiative, which is supporting companies that produce products here in the US, which ultimately creates jobs. And then there's companies like ours, and there's many others that are similar to us that are creating jobs for people with disabilities in the United States. So it's, you know, to see the traction that Walmart can do is, to me, it's one of the most fascinating things in the world. And that's the other thing I think needs to be highlighted. And that's how you get more people to support. And I think this is great. So
it's pretty awesome. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
I'm with you.
And by the way, just to kind of bring this thing full circle, it starts with companies that are taking initiative and doing things like this. And then it takes people like Jarrett that are championing these companies and pushing it inside of these big corporations. And you forget about that. But that's why, you know, we'll take the moment to, number one, thank you, Jarrett, for doing that, because it really does take people like you to make change and bring it. There are so many people that are operating at such a high level, and it takes people like you to make sure that they see this. And then credit to those people for taking the time to be like, hey man, thank you for bringing that to my attention. Now I know about this and you can do something about that.
I agree, right? Evan, one of the things you said, sometimes we don't talk about these things. I think that's getting better in our culture today, but you know, I had a cousin, Evan, that has similar to what your daughter has. As I grew up, she has cerebral palsy too. I grew up not knowing what was happening, right? She even had seizures or different things at, you know, Christmas, et cetera. And it wasn't something people widely talked about. And I think that's the opportunity. I think we're doing a much better job of how do we share those stories, because more than likely, if you're in a room, you have somewhere in your family that you have this impact in.
100%.
Across. And love what you guys are doing, getting out there and sharing your stories. To share those, as we're seeing more and more every time I'm with an event with you two, I see more and more people share their story that we haven't heard of before. And that's making an impact probably on the next person.
Normalizing.
Absolutely.
It.
Yep. 100%.
Absolutely. You guys are all doing an amazing job, and it's a pleasure to be a part of it. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. All right. I think we got to wrap up. Appreciate it. Jarrett, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about all this. And I really, really appreciate all the great work you're doing over there at Walmart. Thank you, Walmart, for all the great work you guys are doing over there. Mike and Isaac, you guys keep up the good work too.
Thank you, Jarrett.
Isaac and the Inspiration Foundation.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Isaac. Yeah. Thank you, Evan.
Thank you, Walmart. Right.
Remember,
thank
if you're listening, like, subscribe, share, continue to listen to Driven by Purpose. We will see you guys next time.